Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Zipline episode 17. This is the official Zipper Interactive podcast. My name is Chris Roper.
And I am Jeremy Dunham, and today we are joined once again by Zipper game director Seth Luisi.
Hello, good to be back.
Good to have you back. Welcome back. Round of applause for Seth. He's back. Don't forget race time.
Yeah.
So this week is a big week. It's been a huge week for MAG, to be honest with you. There's been nothing but MAG news pretty much all week long, and that's really what a lot of our show's about. We are going to have some SOCOM conversation here for sure, but obviously, Chris, I'm stealing your thunder. Go ahead and say what time it is.
It's time for the ZCAP.
There you go. So for this week, we should get the SOCOM stuff out of the way first since there's so much MAG news. SOCOM 4 is at Gamescom this week.
That's right.
And Gamescom started on August the 18th. And
this past Wednesday.
Thank you very much, Mr. Calendar. And it ends on the 22nd, which is what
Sunday.
Day?
Sunday.
Man.
Sunday.
You're like a human computer.
That's all. I'm done. I can go now.
That's right. Now, a lot of people are actually asking us about this build and what it is.
Right.
And it is an updated version of the E3 level, but it's not the same build. Seth, you worked quite a bit on this build. Can you explain to people exactly what the differences are?
Yes. Yeah, so the level shown at GamesCon is much closer to the intended first level of the game. So it has the opening cinema, it has some of the opening events. You're limited to just the SEAL team that starts with you. So Wells and Schweitzer are there with you. So it's much more representative of the final game. It has a lot of tweaks in for the AI, a lot more that we had going in with the combat. We definitely worked on the lighting and the texture fidelity and the specular fidelity, and it's getting better and better. And we're still continuing to work on it. It's not done yet. Game's still pre-alpha. But it's getting better and better, and we're excited to sort of show those improvements. And, of course, they don't really come across on handycam footage,
right. No.
I must say.
But one of the most prominent things you'll notice that's different from this version versus the E3 version is an all-new beginning sequence when the game first starts. You're no longer just beginning following the destruction of a building. Now you're
That's how my life began.
Yeah, every day, every morning. It's like Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. But in the mornings. But in the new version, you actually start in a building. There's a helicopter crash.
Well, before that is the cinematic. It kind of sets up why you're there, what you're about to
Spoilers.
Do, and those kinds of things. Yeah, I just ruined a demo that's freely available in Germany. But there is the cinematic that Seth talked about, little kind of thing setting up what's happening in the area, and then you kind of hear, things are, something's happening, and then it kind of kicks off where, you're inside, and all hell kind of breaks loose, and you run out and start firing some bullets.
Our goal as a team is to make sure that, for those of you that couldn't go to Germany, that you'll actually see a little bit more about what's in this demo in the near future. We'll have more details on that sometime soon.
You mean everyone that's listening didn't make it to Germany?
Well, if they are, guten Tag.
Obviously, the big news of the week, Jeremy, like you said, is the MAG beta announcement. This is kicking off on the 24th.
That's a Tuesday. I stole your thunder.
Yeah, go ahead.
Take that.
That's fine. So on the 24th, you'll be able to download the new MAG beta. And this is the beta client is from the PlayStation Store. Mm-hmm. But you have to have the MAG disc in the drive to play it. But anybody that owns MAG can play. And it's going to have the escalation game type, which is a three-faction gameplay. It has our new economy system, the new character progression, skill kind of breakdown thing that's going on in there.
The clan deploy feature. And they also have three character slots in there so that you can try out a character in each PMC if you
want. Nine new weapons. There's a ton of stuff in there. So, yeah. And like we said, anybody that owns the game can play. It's going to go, I guess we're talking about how it's working now, right? The time frames.
Yes. Specifically, Seth, if you could let everyone know how the beta is going to work in terms of when they can play it versus the retail game.
So when you download the beta from the store, it will be live next Tuesday, and we're planning on having 2 4-hour sessions every day. So one geared towards people in Europe and the other for North America, as well as the earlier one also works for people in Asia as well. So you will be able to log in during those periods, play the beta. We are going to limit the number of people that can play in the beta environment to begin with. To be frank, we're not quite certain of what the demand is going to be. We hope the demand is really high, but we are going to have a cap put on how many people can join the beta environment, and then we'll adjust it as need be if we get... if we see a lot of demand, we need to increase the server capacity.
Right. So to be clear, anybody can download the client, but when you try to log on, it may say that the beta is full right now, and then you can try back in a little while. Maybe a spot's open.
Yes, that's true.
And another thing to keep in mind, two major points about this. The beta will be open Monday through Friday. It's not going to run on the weekends. So there's that to keep in mind. And number two is that this also ensures, in addition to letting us really focus on specific things, it also makes sure that people who are really excited to play the beta are still going to play the regular game too. So you don't have to worry about everyone migrating from the main game to the beta. That way, everyone's still getting to play the current version and the version that we would one day like to roll out to everyone
right
in the future.
Now, there's a whole lot of detail about how the character progression stuff works, which I guess we'll kind of get into as this thing goes on. Mm-hmm. But for details of all the breakdown stuff, go to the Mag blog at blog.mag.com and hit up the forums. We're answering a lot of the questions on there, kind of getting some of the details out of the way. So please do hit those for more details on this.
We've had two major posts this week in addition to the announcement that the Mag beta was coming. And that, by the way, that Mag now supports PlayStation Move, which is another big bit of information that we can't forget. It's something we're really pleased about, and we think that a lot of people out there are happy that we're doing it so far. It's been nothing but positive feedback, mm-hmm. so we're happy about that. But the two major posts that we've had this week are, number one, as a closer look at the character customization, which we posted yesterday on Thursday, and that goes through the new skill tree, the new economy system, talks about our new level cap, which, by the way, will now be level 70 in the beta, and we also talk a little bit about the new weapons. Now, our post that we posted the day before that on Wednesday is a closer look at Escalation, which is our three-faction gameplay mode.
Right.
And it's a crazy mode, and you get to fight in a volcano, which is sweet.
Yeah, kind of like Joe Vosger's volcano.
The only person I could imagine who would not like that is Anakin Skywalker.
Now it's time to get to the discussion, Seth, and with the discussion.
The discussion, Seth, with.
That's no discussion, Seth.
So here's that Star Wars mention. It's making you talk like Yoda.
It really is. Seth, you were last on the show about 2 months ago, and this was before we announced a lot of stuff, like the Mag beta and all these kind of things. And I believe it was the week after, or was it the week before E3?
The week following E3.
Week following E3. Okay, but what has happened in that time? What have you been working on since then?
Well, I've been very busy, working on lots of different things. The features in Mag that were just announced, these are some of the things that we've been planning for some time, and we've been really working on getting those solidified, developed, rolled out, tested, the UI. So, a good portion of my time was working on Mag and these new features, new game types, and sort of solidifying that content with the design team and the development team on Mag, as well as continuing to work on SOCOM 4, the single player experience, the Gamescom demo, the updates for that, as well as going through, pretty much everything in the game and trying to keep everything moving and going and heading towards alpha.
So now that the Mag beta is going to hit next week and that Gamescom is now behind us, for each game, and if you could give us a brief overview, what are the main focuses for each game right now for you? What are you looking ahead at, and then, let's say, the next month that you're really focusing on?
Well, with Mag, it's really immediately going to be the beta test feedback. So we're definitely going to be monitoring feedback from the beta test, looking at what needs to be adjusted. There's a lot of new skills with different variables there that we're really going to keep an eye on and continue to tweak based on feedback. So the new skill tree adds a lot of additional items to it, and we're we're cautiously optimistic, but of course, if something seems overpowered, we may need to tweak it and adjust it before it's released. So that's going to be the big one for Mag. For SOCOM 4, we're really pushing towards alpha, trying to get all the features that need to be into the game so that we can lock it down and then just focus on polishing the features and items that we have, as well as fixing bugs and getting the game ready to ship. So we're, there's still a lot of features that just aren't in the game yet that we're really excited to finally be getting in there and seeing the game as it was more intended to be played.
Now, as you mentioned, SOCOM 4 is at Gamescom right now, and we're talking about how it's kind of the same as the E3 demo, but it's a little more towards the retail release. Can you talk about a little bit about when a demo gets under production for the demo-specific stuff, and it kind of breaks away from the regular development of the game, and how much work goes into it, and what kind of things you need to do that are special to get it ready for a show?
Yeah, we start planning these demos out well in advance, and that was one of the big challenges with the Gamescom demos. It's coming relatively short after E3, and we decided to go with the same, just an updated version of the E3 demo not because we didn't want to show people more of the game, but because we really need to focus on finishing the game and getting all our features in there. So by reusing the demo and just showing an updated version of that one, we're able to focus on other areas of the game and not have to worry about delivering new content that's really polished to a higher level than you would see when it's normally in development.
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
And we'd much rather apply that higher, that better polish and content in the final game that we're working on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The thing for a demo is, especially going through the E3 one, because it was kind of the first time it was really polished to that level, is a lot of the polish is happening on things that won't be the same in the final game. So you're kind of doing it to show, and then you're like, okay, well, now let's change it to what it's really going to be in the end. And so that is time that essentially, I mean, some of it definitely applies, but some of it is time that's spent only for something you'll see at E3 and then won't apply to the final game. So there, yeah, that is definitely a time change. So
what I think is cool is, even though that I'm here and I'm seeing the game change all the time and I've seen other levels and whatnot, I think it's just great to be able to see how a game evolves over a month and a half time. And since the E3 version of the game, you look at that same level now, and you've got that all-new helicopter sequence. We've replaced the rifle butt with the knife now. The grenades are now much easier to use and more accurate. We've had some UI additions that definitely make the game look, I don't know, the best way to put it is better. and there's a couple of other little AI tweaks that I've seen that look really great, too. Mm-hmm. And the game's harder on top of it. So you throw all that in just a month and a half, and I think that's a great step, and I think it shows the progress that we can make from that demo to when the game finally comes out.
All right. Now it's time, I think, to get to some listener questions, and let's start this week off with Mag. And the first one comes from JR2576, and he wants to know that when you now log into Mag, this is since the 107 patch, when you log into Mag, you now see the letter A next to your character. Why is this listed in the full game and outside of the beta?
Yes, that's a mystery, isn't it? You know, I think maybe there'll be something about that in the future. I don't know.
That's right. I would, in fact, I'm looking in my crystal ball, which is actually a table. I would say check back with us next week for more information.
Right now, I like to think of it as Sesame Street presents that character, this character presented by the letter A.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Angel 3309 wants to know when Escalation is going to be available in the full version of Mag after or following its appearance in the beta.
Well, the beta is going to run for several weeks at least, so we haven't really defined the whole beta period. We have a schedule we're working against, but of course, we want to see the outcome of the beta test and be able to react to it. So no details yet as to when it's going to be available for the full version of Mag, but as soon as we have that set in stone, we'll announce it.
Now, it's not on the sheet here, but that actually brings up, I think, a good follow-up question. And that's that the beta will be within a set period of time, but that's for this beta. It would if we wanted to test other things in the future, would we be able to then load this beta again, or would that have to be a separate application somewhere down the line?
It will not be a separate application. We've actually wanted to launch this beta client since we launched Mag, so we're really happy to finally get around to it. We always envisioned having a beta environment for Mag where people can go in and check out changes before they're released to the public. Now we're finally able to get that client out there. We have a lot to test, so we really focused on trying to get this out with this new update. But it's something we'll probably be using in the future as well.
Great.
The next question comes from Maniac Hunter 1, who says, what is the highest veteran level that one person can get to? And this is not the level, like level 60 and then soon to 70 in the beta, but how many times can you veteran in the game?
You know, I did not know the answer to this. I knew it was big, but I had to ask. And apparently I was told that it's 999.
Which means it's impossible. You will never do it. And if you do, Chris will give you $10.
No, I won't. How? what happens if somebody gets to 1,000? We'll just say 000?
It'll just
Maybe they'll flip the scoreboard.
Universe will implode. Please don't get to 1,000.
I would actually like to see if someone can get there. If you think about it, you'd have to... eventually, the flip is going to be to level 70. But let's assume it just stays at 60. You'd have to do that 999 times.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
It's basically level 60,000.
Yeah.
So,
good luck.
Up13 wants to know when the new Mag beta will be available to download from the UK PlayStation Store.
Well, we are hoping to make it available worldwide. So... or at least for North America, SCEE, which is European and Australasia territories, as well as Japan. So we're looking to launch in North America and Europe next week. on Tuesday in North America, and I believe the UK store update is Wednesday Europe time. I'm not certain on that, but I know it's close to our Tuesday update. Yeah, so it may be available in one territory before the other by a day or so. Japan is a little further behind, so it may be the following week.
Steak Knife says that there have been faction-neutral changes to the game lately, as well as talk about possible future faction-neutrality. Does this mean that Zipper is scrapping the Shadow War concept altogether? Will it be left as it is now? Will we see some future updates to the storyline? What exactly is the situation with the Shadow War?
No plans to scrap it. We've been looking at what we can do with it. It's a constant discussion. I think that it's one of those items that everyone on the team wants to do well, but it's also kind of not, you know, a really big part of the game. I mean, it has some effects, and I think that's part of the point for a lot of people on the team. They want it to be a bigger part of the game. At the same time, it's, you know, there's lots of other areas of the game. We're trying to get the biggest bang for the buck by focusing on the skills, the new economy, and other things. It's certainly been discussed a lot, but unfortunately, it's one of those things that kind of, you know, gets pushed down to the bottom because we have other items that we think users will appreciate more.
B-Boy Joe Mama wants to know when the final version of Escalation, will that be a free download or a paid add-on like Interdiction? I know this is a big one that a lot of people in the forums are wondering.
So we haven't announced the details yet of the Escalation pack, but it will be a paid download. It's not going to be free. I think it's pretty safe to say that. Most of the features which people are going to be testing as part of the beta will be free. But specifically the maps with the new game type, that's definitely not going to be free.
But things that you will get for free in future patches as they come along are things like the new skill tree, the in-game economy system, mm-hmm. the level cap, obviously, things like that.
Right.
That's going to be all part of the patching system. Mudmaster23 sends in a lot of questions, wants to know if each domination map's damage meter is different per map or are they same across the board?
Okay, so we may be giving away some secrets here, but... yes, we adjusted some of the domination maps per map, basically. I think we recognized that the Sever map was a little more difficult to defeat. And we actually get a lot of server metrics out of this, too. So mm-hmm. we know that the Sever map was a little more difficult to defeat. So we adjusted the timer on it to make it less than some of the other maps to try to bring it into equality. Now that we've updated some of those other maps, I think we're just going to keep monitoring the feedbacks from the game servers, which don't lie. And then we're going to continue to adjust it and, you know, get it to the right place. So they are different, but not for any nefarious reasons, just for gameplay balancing. We want to make sure that, you know, all the maps are being played somewhat equally.
Right. Elrond Sapphire wants to know if there will be another double XP weekend soon.
Perhaps.
Well, you know, I can take this one a little bit. The double XP weekends we use to help generate excitement around our new modes whenever we release one.
Right.
Or some special event. But because of the 107 patch, we can now have specific events centered only around individual game modes that we play. And that's something going forward that we're going to start looking into is setting up events around not necessarily the game by itself, which are still definitely possible and likely, but specific modes. So
that's right. And as a reminder, 107 added the happy hour. So the first hour of every day that you play, you get double XP anyway.
That's right. Austin, which is spelled a very complicated way, wants to know, what keeps the MAG team going? There's only been one paid DLC thus far, and yet the team keeps working on the game anyway. How is this happening?
Yes, I love the way that one's phrased. Well, I mean, to be frank, the DLC does keep us going. Interdiction came out. You know, we would have liked to see more sales of Interdiction. It didn't do... It's not that it did bad. It did okay. But these are what keep us going. We do have a team dedicated to supporting MAG, and that support is funded by the DLC. So, you know, and that ties together when we're looking at Escalation. You know, of course, we would love to give some of these things away free, but at the same time, it is a business, and we have people to feed and, you know, families.
Are paid, and then they feed themselves.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, we're not a... you know, socialist state, not yet. Yeah. Anyway.
Although, hopefully things like the move support will kind of boost the popularity of the game again and drive some more sales. And by us releasing DLC and patches and stuff, it keeps it fresh. So when people come to look at it again, they say, oh, hey, Mag, I know that came out 6, 7, 8 months ago or whatever. And then, but they'll say, oh, but there is new content. It's been updated. Maybe I'll give it a shot now that it's on the move.
And this is very early, but dare I say it, that beyond the beta and other plans, we do have other tricks up our sleeves coming up in the next few months that we think will also make a big difference.
I kind of want to hear the final countdown happening in the background right now. A little Job action. Cyanide writes in and wants to know if we can expect to see any more map changes to Valor's Domination map or any changes at all to their Acquisition map.
Well, I think we're always looking at it. We're always looking at feedback on the forums. Again, we get a lot of metrics from the servers and see how easily maps are defeated or not. And we're always looking at that. I can say that we are looking at updating multiple acquisition maps, so not just Valor, but several of them to address some issues that a few of the acquisition maps have. So I think that's going to be our next focus now that we've released updates to the domination maps.
Renegade Monk says that this is a good question given all the new content coming to MAG in the near future. Was there anything that had to be scrapped from the planning process that you wish you could have added?
Yes, there's, that's part of game development. We have lots of great ideas and very few of them actually make it to the final product. They're always good ideas though. But there's always more ideas than there is time and budget. So it's there's always going to be some things left behind. I think that one of the things that was a really tough one was implementing the clan feature. We wanted to have a robust clan feature in the game, but we were very conscious of the fact that we don't want to pull everyone that's in a clan out of the main game queue. So, we don't want to have ongoing issues with queues not launching, people having to sit there and wait a long time. So that was one thing where I think originally we had more ideas for the clan feature. I think it was mentioned Clan Wars. And we kind of came back on that and simplified it a little bit so that when you do a clan deploy, it's great. It's a great feature. You can go in, you can set up. Everyone can select which squad they're going to be on. So it's sort of like you can select your platoon, you can select your squad. Everyone in the clan can organize and be matched into the game together as intended. So it's a really robust feature. But where originally we had planned to match clans up against one another, now we are just looking to get the clans into the normal gameplay queues so that we don't affect those queues. Because if we took everyone that's in a clan out of a lot of the queues, we may have issues again populating those queues.
That actually brings us to a question here from The World Is Mine, who wanted to know if there's a way for multiple clans to use the clan deploy system at once as a group and essentially join forces to get into a game together.
That's been discussed. It's very tricky. It's not an easy thing to do. I think that, we support clans up to 128 players. And if both clans were able to communicate enough, maybe using the PSN messages through the XMB, if they both created their, clan deploy teams and launched into the queue at the same time, most likely they're going to end up in the same game. You can also, you can set your size, you can set the preference for the queue. And so, if they did that, they're going to end up in the same game. And if they're in the same faction, they're going to end up on the same team, most likely. There might be some edge cases where the, one might get bumped. But most of the time, you should be able to do that already without us really getting into some very complex UI of linking clans together and trying to get them into the same game, which can be very complicated.
Mesafan 12 wants to know what the new weapons are that we'll see in the beta. Funny you bring that up, is that part of yesterday's post was we listed the 9 new weapons. There's 3 types. We're not going to go through the names here because I don't think those matter so much as the classes. But each of the 3 PMCs will have a brand new assault rifle, brand new machine gun, medium machine gun, not an SMG, and a brand new sniper rifle.
And these are new weapons, so they're not upgraded weapons from the base weapons. These are brand new weapons, which we're happy to bring.
AimFix wants to know if there's any chance of giving platoon leaders the ability to spawn into any bunker in their platoon.
I have to say, I personally like this idea.
No.
Never mind. Sorry. I guess my opinion counts for nothing.
You know, it's one of those things. We always want it to be balanced. And, you know, I'm assuming platoon leaders are part of a squad. So, one, we don't want to take them out of the squad. They're not the squad leader. So if the platoon leader was sort of, you know, moving their squad around, that could get quite confusing. And then the other one is that, you know, we balance the maps. We only want to have so many people spawning in each area. Otherwise, you know, people are going to overload one area pretty easily. I mean, you can always do that in the game if you planned ahead. But if we made it so that people could, you know, you could spawn double the number of people in one area, well, then that's going to be used as an exploit to overtake certain areas of the map, and then that's going to break a lot of the game mechanics. So,
Marcus Soul says, with the new skill tree in Mag, the Mag beta, that is, will there be more knife upgrades available?
Yes.
See?
The Gods 14 wants to know if there'll be new supply. If the new supply depot will allow you to buy a rival's PMC weapons, a rival PMC's weapons. That's it.
There you go.
It is something we are looking into. Initially, no, but based on feedback, you never know what may happen in the future.
Early on, I know that it was a memory thing, but as the game gets optimized and stuff, and the possibility becomes more likely, then it becomes a question again that gets discussed in meetings, and so now it's kind of coming back around to maybe one day again. So
here's one of the most popular questions that we see every now and then on the podcast, but definitely more often on the boards, and it comes from Andy Taman: are balaclavas and face masks ever going to come back?
I see this question all the time in the forum, so it does seem to be one that you know, people are really asking about these a lot. And you know, it's certainly been discussed, but we're always, again, trying to give the biggest bang for the buck. So, you know, what do you want? Do you want a balaclava or face masks, or do you want, you know, a new weapon? And these are some of the trades that it comes down to. We only have so much memory. We have a lot of characters on the screen. We do allow you to get all the characters in one spot. So, you know, they've been removed because we didn't have the memory for it. We've actually been using the memory for other things that we feel are more important to users.
I think we should go another direction with it, take a cue from Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, and add baklava, and you have to eat it to survive.
There you go.
That's just my suggestion. And with that, I guess that ends the mag question and answer period.
Yep. Let's get into some SOCOM 4 questions then. And the first one was one that we kind of started, we mentioned last week. Comes from I Ate Your Cat. Is Oracle a replacement for HQ in SOCOM 4?
So the simple answer is no. It's much different in SOCOM 4, where in previous SOCOM games, you were part of a SEAL team and you were a SEAL leader of that fire team. But you were always taking directions from HQ. HQ was not just giving you information about the mission. She was specifically telling you what you need to do in the mission. With SOCOM 4, there was a specific, you know, desire to move away from that a little bit, to more empower the player, to make you the person that's deciding how to approach the mission and what tactics to use, objectives to take. So, you know, it was just fictionally a shift. So that's why we have Oracle now rather than HQ. Oracle is a pure intelligence officer. She's giving you and feeding you intelligence, but she's not telling you what to do, which the previous HQ did. So, you know, it's different in SOCOM 4, and it's a different tone, and certainly that comes out in your character and in the Oracle character in the game.
A lot of forum goers have asked us several times, and we have addressed it a few times here on the podcast, but never with a definitive answer. But you've never directly talked about this, Seth, and that's, so here it goes. Health regeneration in multiplayer.
ZOMG.
Why can't we talk about this yet, and why isn't it just a simple yes or no answer?
Okay, so it's complicated. That's the easiest way to put it. We can't really answer it without giving away more than we can give away about the multiplayer at this time. That's a simple answer. We know a lot of people want an answer to this, and You know, we're definitely taking into account everything everyone's saying on the forums, a lot of the feedback. So, and we've also mentioned that just because, you know, things happen in single player, that doesn't mean they're going to happen the same way in multiplayer, and that's definitely true. But it's impossible for us to answer this question definitively about without going into more detail about the multiplayer aspect of the game, which we feel we're not quite ready to go into yet, because there's still a lot of features outstanding, a lot of things that we want to get in there. And then on the other aspect, we're actually not allowed to talk about it. Sorry.
Yep. Now, speaking of that, a lot of the same probably forum goers want to know what the determining factor is and what we can and can't talk about, because there are some things we've mentioned, you know, early on we said there's no vehicles and multiplayer and things like this, but then they say, well, why can't you say yes or no to, you know, health regeneration or user created rank rooms? Or they just want yes and no answers. Why can't we say some of these things yet?
Yeah, I think it comes down to that simple point. One is, you know, the game's still pre-alpha, so there's features coming in. A lot of it's not set in stone yet, and we're still implementing a lot of things. You know, vehicles was a very easy one because we're not planning on doing it, so we're actually confirming something that doesn't exist, which is easier for us than to talk about something that's more complex that requires more information to be disclosed about the mode. So, you know, it's again, vehicles, we're confirming nothing, basically, when mm-hmm. we say there's no vehicles, because it's never been planned to be in there. But something, you know, like some of these other questions that get down to the specific features, because, yeah, I mean, we've seen it. Is there user-created rank rooms? You know, there's lots of questions out there, very specific questions, which we just can't answer without giving additional information about the multiplayer that we're not ready or able to give at this time.
Dominator039 wants to know, when is the general time frame in which we can expect to start getting multiplayer info? Because that is obviously a hot topic for a lot of the folks on our forums. And so to help put that to rest, what's the general time frame that they can expect to start getting some of that?
Yeah, that hasn't been defined yet. I know that's probably going to be, you know, disappointing to some people. I think that we're trying to get everything into a state which we're happy with it, and then we'll disclose it and we'll show it to, you know, and we'll announce it and we'll do a big deal out of it. You know, the multiplayer info is going to be a big part of announcing SOCOM 4. It is so important to any SOCOM game. So we haven't, you know, nailed that down yet. There's some possibilities. You know, we're looking at later this year or early next year is about as definitive as I can get.
Yeah, and it honestly hasn't been determined with a specific date. The delay changed everything. The original plan had the game come out this year, as we would already be talking about multiplayer stuff. We had this big plan all put together, and then we ended up delaying the game. So hopefully as soon as possible is the best answer, but and it's obviously the most truthful one.
Right, and to answer a question that I've seen a couple times in the forums, is people want to know, is the information just going to show up on the blog one day, or is it going to be at an event or something? Certainly when we talk about multiplayer, it'll be in a way that we can get, draw a lot of attention to it.
So yeah, we'll go big on that.
So it will either be at a pre-existing event that will happen, you know, like E3 in December, which doesn't happen.
Or a specialized event
set up for it. So it won't just be something that just magically appears online one day. We'll draw a bunch of people in to see it.
Or both. Kind of thing.
Or at the same time.
There you go.
Planets collide. But yes, but we will have some big thing. And the other half of that is, will we tell people that we are about to show multiplayer? We don't know yet. We'll figure that part out later.
Maybe if we can, we will. Though.
Yeah, if we can say next week we'll get details, we will tell you that. Maybe it'll be a surprise, maybe it won't. But when we do announce it, it will go out in a big way. Dr. Big Noob wants to know that since the single player is kind of being tailored to a broader audience, I guess, than the previous SOCOMs were, and that's kind of what we've been showing a lot of.
I'm glad you changed that, because he actually said casual audience, and they are not
right.
The same thing.
Exactly. But he wants to know if there's anything that in the single player that will appease the hardcore guys, the dudes that have been playing it since 1 and are gonna kind of want that, you know, really difficult stuff, and they kind of want to see it be more like the old games.
Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed that out, Jeremy. You actually said casual market.
Yeah.
Well, we're not aiming for any specific market. We want as many people to play the single-player game as possible. That includes people that appreciate more tactical experience, as well as people that just want more of a pick-up-and-play experience. But certainly, we're not tailoring the game so much to a specific market that other people won't like it. There is a lot of depth in the single player campaign. There will be a lot of depth in it, just as there was in any previous SOCOM game, with the stealth and tactics and the approach on how you accomplish objectives and engaging in combat.
Are there any specific bones you can throw people yet? To let them know, the hardcore fans in particular, that they will like single player. Maybe something that they haven't seen yet.
Well, the team command system is very robust. And we've touched on this a little bit in demoing it at E3 and in other areas. And we're continuing to add on to that. But a big part of the game will be setting up your team and coordinating tactics with your team so that you have the choice. You can run in guns blazing, which is going to work sometimes, but maybe it won't work every time. Or you can, plan out your approach and your attack and who you want one team to take out, the gold team versus the blue team to take out, and how they take them out and where you want to position them and how you want to approach the different scenarios. So there will definitely be a lot of depth to that in a single player experience.
Blackout Basement wants to know if players will be able to sprint for as long as they hold down the sprint button, or will characters lose their breath after a certain amount of time?
This is one of those things that we have implemented one way now, which I believe it is unlimited, but it's always, we're not going to say it's going to be that way in the final game, because I think it's one of those tuning items. If people are using sprint too much, or if we want to slow down movement a little bit, we may explore other ways similar to having you lose breath. So it's currently it is unlimited, but that doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be in the final game. We actually had unlimited sprint in Mag earlier on, and then in the final game, it wasn't unlimited. You ran out and lost your breath and had to run, engage it again. So it's one of those things that right now it's not set.
And that's the type of feature that is so easily tunable that we could change it all the way up into close to the before the game comes out even.
Right. Slick wants to know, why was the camera moved to the over-the-shoulder view as the primary single-player camera? Why not keep it the old way, do a first person, or something else along those lines?
Well, obviously, it's still a third-person game, and, it's the over-the-shoulder view is more cinematic, especially when you have a widescreen television. Your character in the middle of the screen can block a lot. There's a lot of extra space on the side of the screen. When you play the game, when you're dealing with old, 4x3 TVs and the older, lower resolution of games on PS2 or PS1, it made a lot of sense to put the character in the center of the screen. Once we hit high def and widescreen TVs, it just looked a little odd. You had this tiny character in the middle of the screen, all this empty space all over the rest of the screen. So a lot of it was just we wanted to best use the space. Of course, we're also taking into account just balancing that with making sure your character's not getting in the way of your combat. But it is one of those things that we want to best show off the character, use the best, camera perspective to portray the experience we're trying to portray. And there's always going to be some personal opinion on that, where the character should be, but that's where, the team feels that the character should be for the single-player experience.
Last week on the podcast, we let everybody know that the Guns Hot feature had been removed from SOCOM 4. I can't really remove it if it was never there, but right. It's not in the game opposed to the previous games.
Right. To explain, Guns Hot was when you came into proximity to somebody, your gun would automatically raise.
Yes. So Slick has a question in regards to that. Wants to know, why didn't we keep it over from the past games? If we did take it out, are we replacing it with anything? And if we're not, why aren't we replacing it?
And again, I think that's a good point you brought up. A lot of people, this is something, feedback we get all the time. Why have you removed this from the game? One of the things that people need to realize is that, going from PS2 to PS3, the technology was completely different. We didn't port the SOCOM code base over to PS3. It wouldn't work. And it certainly wouldn't take advantage of the capabilities of the platform. So we had to start from the ground up, creating a brand new engine for MAG, and then continuing to develop that substantially for SOCOM 4. So nothing's been removed. It's what we're able to get into the game. And, a lot of that is, since we're starting from scratch, we have to pick and choose. We have to pick what elements do we want to retain or add back in, not remove, versus, how would we do this differently now that we're having to do it again anyway? And, you know, a lot of that comes up with a lot of these things where, you know, we're implementing things brand new with a brand new engine, and we have to evaluate, you know, do we want to do it the way we used to do it, or do we think we can do something a little better? The Guns Hot feature is one of those where it is something that was very unique to SOCOM. It was something that, you know, I always liked personally as that sort of extra sense. But at the same time, it can be abused. So there was some concern about it. You know, a lot of people use it to fish out other people in multiplayer, which has its advantages. It does help prevent some camping.
Which I think is the argument, because it can be abused but also used as a tool.
And that's what I've seen. I've seen two main schools of thought on this for those for and against. The ones who want it back are the ones who don't want to be ambushed. And the ones who don't want it back
don't
are the
want
ones...
somebody, they don't want somebody just hiding in the corner until the timer runs out.
But the ones who don't want it there want to ambush people.
Right.
So. Yeah, see, these are the type of discussions we're having. So, you know, we have to see, you know, if we don't have it in there, how does the game behave? How does it change? Do we have something else? Or do we look at, you know, biting the bullet and adding something like that into the game? Not going to commit to anything. I think it's going to have to play itself out. We do lots of internal play tests, and it's one of those things we're looking at.
Zeus wants to know, what are Zipper's expectations for SOCOM 4's shelf life, and is there any news of a limited or collector's edition for S4?
No news on limited or collector's edition. We'd love to see something like that, but a lot of different factors come into it. So, you know, we'll see. We certainly haven't finalized what's going to be available at retail yet when the game does come out. As far as the shelf life, I mean, you know, we've seen with MAG that we're able to continue working on it and really get some significant improvements. And I know we want to continue to support SOCOM 4 post-release. A lot of the post-release support does depend on, you know, how many people are playing it, people are interested in additional content, and so of course we expect all that to be, you know, work out great. Lots of people playing it, lots of people wanting additional maps and content. So we hope to be supporting SOCOM 4 for quite some time after release.
Exploited wants to know, we know that there aren't any vehicles in multiplayer, but will there be any controllable vehicles in the single-player mode?
We do not have plans for any controllable vehicles in the single-player mode. So it's, you know, once you add in vehicles, it has a pretty big impact on the game. We wanted to focus on infantry combat, on-the-ground combat for the single-player portion, as well as online.
OC Headshot King wants to know if Zipper is looking into methods for reporting abusive players in SOCOM 4. I know this has been, I've seen this a couple of times for a few people in the forums. They, you know, back in the old days of the PS2, people would, you know, hack the system and do things that are not good. So they want to know what's going to be happening this time to make sure that cheating isn't, you know, very, very big thing. And what are we going to do about people that are abusing the game?
Well, currently with Confrontation, go onto the website and report player abuse that way. So you can, you know, look up a player's name and report that player through the website. I think we'll continue with that. I don't know what we're going to do in-game as far as being able to report people in-game. It's a little more complicated, so we'll have to see.
Bonus head OC Headshot King question. And if you remember, he actually asked our audio question a few weeks back. But he plays games in a wheelchair, and because he is unable to walk or stand up, and he's curious that because he has fast reflexes, what control method would you personally, Seth, advise him to play with? PlayStation Move or DualShock 3?
You know, the DualShock or Move, you know, part of that is just going to be, you know, up to personal preference. Mm-hmm. You know, I've found myself personally that I prefer the Move for targeting people on the screen. It's really interesting. You know, some of the videos came out from E3, and there's a lot of people on the forum saying, see, look, there's auto-targeting for the Move. There's no auto-targeting for the Move.
There's zero magnetism.
There's none. It doesn't. It shows you the accuracy of the device. You're able to target people quickly with the Move and keep it on them. And I do find I'm better with the DualShock of engaging people that are up close to me. So if I want to swing quickly around because somebody's, you know, right off to the side of me or behind me, I find that a little easier with the DualShock, though, you know, we're always tweaking those elements.
that response, I'm sure what people are thinking right now as you're listening is, oh my God, Move users are going to be overpowered and they're going to take out the DualShock 3 users. What can you say to that effect now?
Like I said, I think there's, if you've been using a DualShock 3 for a long time and you're comfortable with that controller, you're definitely going to be better with it than if you just pick up the Move right away. There is a little bit of a learning curve. And, you know, one of the things, Move is not going to make your mom an awesome SOCOM player. You still have to understand how a shooting game works. You know, it's still your shooting games, even though we have Move and Move helps, you're still moving your character around and strafing left and right, moving forward and back with an analog stick, and then aiming around the screen with the Move controller. And that takes a fundamental understanding of how a shooting game is played that, you know, some people just don't have. You know, we were hoping to get as many people playing SOCOM as possible, but, you know, even with the Move, we saw people picking it up at E3 and not understanding how you actually play a shooting game. That's a little bit disappointing, but true. But, you know, so it's not like it's going to, you know, everyone's going to pick it up and be really good players. If you're a good player, if you're a good, you know, player of shooting games and you used a Move, it could be that you're better with the Move than with the DualShock. But having good shooting skills is still going to be very important in general. Just how you play the game, how you check corners. You know, there's lots of things beyond the input device. You know, strategies people use and different techniques. How you get headshots, how you aim, where your sight line is. You know, there's lots of things that beyond just the input device that go into whether or not you're a good player.
Sim Sifaroth wants to know if SOCOM 4 will implement the lean and extended crouch features, and if so, how they work, and if not, why not?
So again, this is one of those things where, you know, it was in previous SOCOM games, and again, we're starting with a whole new engine. We didn't port over anything from previous SOCOM games, and this is one of those items that we looked at. Do we need the lean, or do we have something that's comparable to that, that's just as effective or more than effective than the lean? And, you know, it's probably going to pain some people to hear this, I'm sure. The best way I can say is we really have to try some of these elements out, and I have to emphasize this, you know, very heavily, and using this is a big part of it. But the cover system and peeking from cover and using walls as cover pretty much completely replaced the need for lean in the game. And I know there's probably, you know, a lot of hardcore SOCOM games yelling at me right now and calling me very nasty names, which I'm getting used to. But, you know, that is how the team felt. And this isn't me. I didn't go to the team and say, we need to take lean out, which, of course, we didn't take it out because it was never there to begin
Robert
with.
Robert did, though.
You know, but this was what we came up with, and this is what we tested, and this is what we used with the team. And to be honest, you know, we've already discussed how cover is going to be in multiplayer. And we're still looking at, you know, how that's going to be implemented into multiplayer. Is it always going to be available? Is it going to be a specific mode? But, you know, I was one of the biggest people against cover in the game. I didn't think it would work for multiplayer, that is. I knew it would work for single player. I was convinced that it absolutely wouldn't work for multiplayer. And the team, you know, wanted to implement it, wanted to try it out. Maybe I mentioned this last time on the podcast. It was one of those things that, you know, I was convinced I was going to slow the game down to a crawl. Everyone was going to be hiding behind cover and you'd be playing a game of whack-a-mole. Well, that's not the way it's played right now in our playtests. You know, you use cover strategically. Most of the people are continuing to move. The good players at the game are the ones that are sweeping, you know, around the area, checking corners, and are, you know, the good players that you would see in any previous SOCOM game. The guy that's sitting there behind cover and is not staying on the move is usually the guy that's fodder. He's going to die. He's going to get rid. But if you use it effectively, you use the cover strategically, it's very effective. And so going up to cover, using it to lean out and using it as cover, and then detaching from it and moving from the level, which we make it very easy to get in and out of the cover, is a very effective way of playing the game. And, you know, it was the feeling of the team and also myself after having trying it out that it's better than having a lean, and it does work really well and effectively in the multiplayer.
So it's safe to say that even though you were apprehensive about ahead of time, that in practice you had your mind changed simply through playing it.
More than apprehensive, I was, you know, I was convinced it wasn't going to work. And, you know, it did work. It did work well, and I was wrong there. You know, there's probably a lot of people that still feel the way I used to feel, and they're convinced that it's not going to work. And the only way, you know, really I was convinced was by trying it. And there's probably some people that that's going to be the only way they're convinced as well.
Spectre MK23 wants to know if SOCOM 4 will allow us to open and close doors. And I didn't write it down here, but I'll bring it up because I remember it for some reason. I didn't write it down because it wasn't our game. He said, and why couldn't we open and close doors in Confrontation?
You know, again, it's one of those things. We're creating a brand new engine. How important is opening and closing doors? I mean, some people may see that as a vital part of an online shooter. There's a lot of complexities, actually, with doors. You wouldn't believe the number of bugs and issues we have synchronizing doors over the network and how they behave and having them get in the way of players and AI. And, you know, doors are one of those things that seem very simple, but, you know, you end up spending a lot of time implementing and working on. We didn't have a lot of interiors in SOCOM 4 or even Confrontation, and so we didn't really see the need to spend a huge effort to get doors in and getting them working to the level which we want them to work. We don't want to implement it and have it be a bad experience. So unless it was something that was, you know, a game changer, was absolutely necessary to the game, which the doors were not, you know, we decided it's better not to implement them and not have them.
Black wants to know if there'll be any sort of split-screen play options.
You know, I've been one of those people that I really enjoy split-screen games, and it's one of those things that I've been pushing for since the first SOCOM game. But again, it's one of those things that is a huge task to implement. I think people take it for granted that some games have split screen, and my hat off to those developers that implement split screen, because it is not easy. It's a huge investment. It's something you need to plan for from day one, and to get everything right and get it working in the game. It's a pretty significant engineering feat and takes away a lot of resources from other areas of the game. So we do not have split screen planned for SOCOM 4, unfortunately. Though it pains me to say that, but you know, it's one of those things. There was a lot of other things we felt were more important to the title and that we should focus on rather than putting a huge engineering effort, which it would have been a very large engineering effort, behind implementing split screen.
And it'd be out even later.
Yes.
Haitian Playa wants to know roughly how long the single player campaign is going to last.
How long is a single player? It's going to be a pretty good length. I can't get any more specific than that at this time. But, you know, I would say it's going to be longer than your average shooter, definitely.
Would you say it's longer than 10 hours?
Yes, I think it's longer than 10 hours.
And less than 60.
Yes, less than 60.
So somewhere between 10 and 60 hours. Street Marine wants to know what the native resolution for SOCOM 4 is.
720p. We are not doing a lower resolution and upscaling. It is a native 720p game.
Mashed Potatoes Tasty wants to know if most weapons in the game, can they be suppressed, or will only some weapons have this option?
Yeah, for balancing reasons, only some weapons will have this option. It's one of those things that's difficult to do. A lot of these weapons, you know, unless you're a really fanatical gun nut, which I know there's some of you out there, I'm not trying to offend you. You're great people. But, you know, it can kind of bleed together the performance of some of these weapons. There's obviously some weapons that are very unique, but then there's a lot of weapons that are very similar. So, you know, which attachments you can put on those weapons helps us differentiate the performance and use of the weapons. So for balancing reasons, we are, you know, I know that pretty much any weapon can take a suppressor, but we did want to limit the use of the suppressors just for balancing reasons, add more variety to the weapons and how you use them.
Agent 21 wants to know if your squad is with you in every single player mission or if there will be instances where you are playing alone.
The operations commander will always have his squad with him.
Very good.
Ninja at Work wants to know that there's been rumors that SOCOM 4 will be pay to play. A lot of this has been kind of going around the industry as a whole of pay to play for multiplayer. Can you confirm whether or not that that rumor is true?
Not true.
You'll be able to play SOCOM 4 after you buy it. No extra charge.
Very good. Deal of the century.
B-Man 900 says that there's a lot of changes to SOCOM 4. And this is, by the way, before I finish this question, I really like it. There are a lot of changes to SOCOM 4 compared to past games. Why do you think these changes are necessary for SOCOM 4 to be successful? A lot of things we've covered in this podcast. No vehicles, no lean, but we've also added the new
cover
camera
system,
perspective, the cover system.
Health regeneration, a lot at
of
least single player.
Yes. Yeah. So why all of these decisions? What is it about these things that will make SOCOM successful had they not been there?
Well, like I said, with SOCOM 4, we're starting fresh in many ways. It's a new engine. Everything that's in the game had to be added. We didn't remove anything from the game. And, you know, going back to what I said before, it was really just us looking at the features that we had in previous games and if we wanted to implement something which we felt would work better. And that's why, you know, the features that are in there. Really, it's because we felt that something might have been dated, or we could just, you know, implement it in a better way when we were working on SOCOM 4.
And it's really hard to quantify a value of one feature over another as something that's absolutely going to work versus absolutely not. You have to go with a lot of opinions and going with your gut and understanding the market and what fans want and what fans don't want. And there's a lot of things to consider. It's not just as easy as just saying, do this again and make it look better.
Yeah, and it's very challenging with games because they take so long to develop. You know, when we have a feature planned, before we actually see that feature and are able to use it, sometimes it can take months. Sometimes it can be a year if you're very early in the project. So it's one of those things where, you know, we have our idea for how we want to develop it, and we get it in there. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and then we have to iterate from there. But it is something that's really challenging to identify what is going to work and what is not going to work with the game.
Well, that brings us to the end of the Q&A, which means it's time for the Zip Tip.
For those of you not familiar with the Zip Tip, this is your first podcast. The Zip Tip is any piece of wisdom that our guest for the week wants to impart unto you. Could be about video games, could be about life in general, could be about anything they want. Seth, what is your Zip Tip for this week?
You know, I should have thought about this before I came on.
This is what everybody always
this
says.
Was the last week.
And last time I had, you know, something good, but that was opportunistic.
I think last time was and, the buy interdiction.
Yeah, right? It yeah. was. Yeah. But, so which was kind of a cop-out in many ways.
Is it buy escalation when it comes out?
It's play the mag beta. Next Tuesday. Now, I don't know.
Play the mag beta next Tuesday.
Yeah. And you know what? Play the mag beta. And if for some reason you're listening to the show but you don't participate in the forums, please do go participate in the forums and leave feedback on what you think of the beta. The beta is intended for, we want to make sure the servers work, of course, but it's also all about feedback. What do you guys think? What's working? What's not?
Yep.
All those things. So,
and even if you do like something, tell us why you like it. It's also good to know why you're enjoying something on top of why you don't enjoy something.
Yeah, good point.
And we're actually opening up two specific forums with in conjunction with the beta on the 24th. There will be a subsection of the main forums. You can actually already see them now. They just don't work yet. And that'll be the beta-specific forums. We'll have one for general discussion, and we'll have one specifically meant to report bugs or if you see issues or anything.
So with that, I think that brings us to the end of the show. As always, you can follow us on your favorite social networks, such as Twitter. You can look for us at Zipper, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SOCOM or /ZipperInteractive.
You can also email us at zipline@zipperint.com with any of your questions, and find the official Q&A threads for any of our guests on the official forums each week on mag.com and SOCOM.com. We post them every Monday in conjunction with the profile of the guests that we have. Seth, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your time. Next week, our special guest is going to be Zipper President Brian Soderberg.
So yeah, the big cheese.
He's the one who pays everybody.
That's right. He's going to be on the show.
So we're telling you ahead of time, lots of compliments.
Yeah. Go ahead and send in bottles of wine and stuff too.
He sees
this place as nice as possible.
I think he's more of a beer guy.
Well, there you go.
He is, and he's coming in just to answer all of your questions. It's also a big moment for us next week, as it is SOCOM's 8th birthday
right
next week. Actually, on the day of the podcast, on the 27th. So sweet.
Has it been 8 years?
It has been 8 long years.
Yep.
And they keep supporting us. Thank you very much. Once again, thank you to Seth. Thanks to Chris. We'll talk to everybody next week.